Hey everybody, Just in Case, episode 52 of Case in Point. Conch and I are here today on this lovely Sunday, and we're going to shoot from the hip today.
Bang, bang.
Yes. Bang, bang! It's Jack style. And we are doing Sundays because we're both, well, at least me, I'm sharp. Sharper. But we're just going to wing it today and have a little caffeine here. And quick shout-outs real quick. We've got our friends over at McSauce. Check those guys out. They're everywhere. Element of Surprise with Chadwick Sewitt. We have Hope This Finds You Well. They just got back into the game. They posted a recent episode, which I haven't listened to. Same with McSauce. They did a wheelie, chili, dealy thingamabobber. I haven't had a chance to even sit down and do anything for myself lately, so I'm going to be checking those out. And if I forgot anybody, I'm sorry, but we're going into this flying in cold. No instruments, just sheer instinct. We're going to touch that runway.
Case in Point, unplugged.
Yes, unplugged. We'll be like Pearl. Not Pearl Jam sucks. we'll do some Alice in Chains style, or maybe what's the one guy? Who is it? I'm terrible with names lately. The guy Heart of Gold, Neil Young. We'll do the Neil Young style and play the go through the first song like 50 different iterations. Let's try that one again, shall we? And we'll do that. A notorious redo of Neil Young Unplugged. But anyway. So there aren't any good movies out right now. There's some TV stuff going on. And I watched the first two episodes of Picard. I won't say anything. To me, it's just getting warmed up. We got Star Trek Discovery. That'll be starting up here soon. Yeah, that one's okay. It's hard to get into. I'm really trying. It's not bad. It's just a different feel. I'm more of a techie guy. I'm more of a let's get those Bassard collectors cleaned and, you know, emit a tachyon grid around sector 001 and that kind of stuff. So that's my bag. That's my kind of track. Action-based is good. I think if you can get a good mix between action-based, good story, and some techie stuff, you got it made. There you go. Not hard to do, but they've yet to do it.
So if they made a side project or a miniseries called Engineering, would you watch it? And it's all about tech.
I would.
It's all about the nuts and bolts.
Yes, I would be all over it. You might look at something in the process if it's based in reality. I tend to watch a lot of those shows where they're restoring something. That's what I'm doing right now. It's a funny thing, too, because my engine for Kit is garbage. I just hauled it to the scrapyard yesterday. And I backed the car up to the scrap of iron and just threw it into the piles. There's no bore left in the engine. It's already been bored out all the way. So if your cylinders are too thin, you can't take more out of nothing. So engine's shot. There's no fixing it.
Wait. You're scrapping the Kit project?
No. The engine.
Oh.
I found in the machine shop and when they do a hot tank process, pretty much all they're doing is putting in really hot water and soap to get all the grime and grease off of it. Then they check for cracks. They take they take magnetic fragments and then they rub them over the heads. And then the heads, you can see where all the cracks are. Both heads are cracked. Those are garbage. He said those are the worst castings he's ever seen in his life. Because they're early 80s GM castings, so the metal, the alloys aren't very good. It's not very well made. So those are junk. So I went down, make a long story short. The crank might be good, but there's not much life left in it. Crankshaft is garbage. You just always replace those. Pistons are junk. Control arms are junk. the rod, the control rods for the piston heads are junk. We just scrapped everything. I didn't even keep the cover timing chain. I didn't even keep the harmonic balancer. I just got rid of everything. So I went down yesterday. There's a place next door to the scrapyard, and we went over and said, "Hey, you got any engines that are running?" He goes, "Well, I don't have anything that's running, but I've got really good." Well, no, you can have an engine that doesn't run, but it's rebuildable.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So if it's a block, it hasn't been bored out and screwed with it, you can just go and get new parts for it. You always go down and get it hot tanked to make sure there's no cracks in the block or the heads are good. So we get what you call a long block. A long block has pretty much all the parts you need to start rebuilding an engine. It's got heads, it's got a crank, crankshaft, all that stuff. And so it's a 71 four bolt. Four bolts are awesome because it's got a four bolt main. So if it's got a four bolt main, if you want heavy horsepower, typically they're in truck engines. It gives you you won't, that thing won't be popping out when you really lay into it, because a lot of times the crank and stuff, it's not held down. Your engine's just gonna freaking fly apart on you when you're really pushing it. So a four bolt gives you more stability. There's four bolts literally for each section holding it down instead of a two bolt. Mm. There you go. There's a little car stuff for you. Anyway,
so more stable ones in the frame of the car then.
Exactly. Or in the engine, because the crankshaft is the heart of the engine. And, you know, obviously if that's going to fly out of the engine when you're driving the car, that's not good. So usually if you're pulling over 300 horse, you're going to want a four bolt. So that's some serious RPM going on there. So that's the story on that. So I'm hopeful. So when I get this engine, I'm going to tear it apart. I'll take it back down to the machine shop, the hot tank, and hopefully there's no issues with it. That's what you have to do. It's painful, but if you want an engine that's going to be reliable and not break down on you, because I'm going to take this on long trips. Kit's going to Vegas. So.
Drive from Washington State to Nevada?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be a nice road trip.
Yeah, that's the goal, to commemorate Goliath, the episode Goliath. Part of Caesar's Palace with no intent of going in Caesar's Palace. I don't know what you do, but I'm going to try, you know.
Yeah.
What do you do? Get that out of here. Oh, it's Kit. You know, you're good. If it's a nice looking Kit car, they'll let you do whatever you want. Everyone's going to be like, wow, this is cool. So you get a lot of street cred if you got something like that. So
this is a nice example of a Kit car, sir. Please park in front of the entrance, not on the street.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're bringing attention to our casino. We'll bring, yeah, sure, do whatever you want, you know. So anyway, that's the plan with that, and I'm really excited about it. And it's interesting because for those of you who have not seen my dash, repost the video of my completed dash. Well, complete as far as not being in the car, but it talks, all the gauges and stuff work. I painted everything, and it blew me away how well it turned out. So that's the most complicated part of the car is the dash. But I got to do upper and lower console, but the electronic supplier that I got, he's not, for some reason, he's not working on the electronics to finish out the package. He's jumping over to season 3 and 4 dash. I'm like, come on, man, don't leave me hanging here, you know? So I got this. I want to stick with his stuff, or if I want to go forward, I might just go forward. I want to get the card done. I'm not going to wait 2 years for this guy.
Wait, did he promise he would do like the earlier season for you, or you just kind of?
No, he told everyone that. I said, hey, what's, is it? That's what's coming next. He said, yeah. He just had to get his scanner finished, because his scanner is very nice. It's got a proximity sensor on it and everything. So the car will talk. You can set it so that somebody at a car show, someone will walk up to the car, and then Kit will start talking. And I got another guy I'm working with in Florida. He comes with an external loudspeaker, so Kit will talk outside. in addition to in. And so, yeah, so he's going to hook me up with a proximity sensor to enhance the scanner control unit that I have. So that'll be really nice because my scanner was built, I got it from the Netherlands. So, and it's really nice. It's a 55 watt halogen unit, and it's got machined out. It's the actual light frame is actually machined out aluminum. So it's going to be really, yeah, it's quite a thing to see. It your video just doesn't do it justice. So I've got like a red. You can swap the lenses out, so you can make the scanner colors whatever you want. You want a green one, purple, whatever you want.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I've got a car, the evil version of Kit. I've got the orange, like the amber lens to put over the front, and I have a red one, so I can swap it out anytime I want.
Wait, so the color change is done by swapping out the lens, is not the LEDs itself? Or?
No, they don't make them like that right now. That's a hard thing to do. The only company I know that's able to change LED colors is American Garage out of Italy. They have a variable LED that will change. Obviously, you see them around, but I think it's the requirements of the circuit that are.
Oh, I see.
Because like my scanner box, I've got a bezel where I can actually swap it in and out right on the dash itself. But the problem was the LEDs he used, I think it's a 13 bar LED for the voice box, and the LEDs are inherently kind of a very, very light pink color. Hmm. But when you use the red bezel, it looks bright red. But when you try to use the car bezel, which is a green lens or a yellowish green lens, it looks orangish. So it's still fine, but I mean, I would have went with a white LED because then whatever you put in front of it is going to change the color. So I don't know why he did that. So interesting. Well,
you can always swap out the actual bulb itself, whenever you want.
Well, see, that's the problem is I tried to find LEDs that are exact size. I think he went with that light red color because that's all he could find. So I will, but I'm not going to let up on that though. I mean, eventually I will find something. So now the problem with this kind of thing is that the forums that are out there, like they've mostly moved to Facebook pages. People aren't doing forums really anymore, and they're very helpful at times if you talk to the right people. Like I'm friends with the people that I talk to, so we just use a messenger or something like that, or I'll just call them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Sorry, you ever try Reddit? Seems like Reddit's like the next progression of forums.
For this particular thing, your best bet are the big Knight Rider groups that actually host the events.
Oh, okay.
I'm a member of both of the biggest groups out there, and they're actually like warring factions. They don't like each other. But I'm neutral. I'm friends with them. I don't care. I got no axe to grind with anybody. But I'm just a fan of the show, and I like building my own car. You know, in fact, I'm almost done roughing up the paint on the whole back end of the car. It was repainting the butt, and there was a lot of paint dust around, and I had red boogers. But even wearing a mask, it still gets in there somehow. So, which is fine. I was using the hand. I just sanded by hand. I had to get the contours of the light bulb, the rear taillight section of the car. I pulled all that off just to rough it up and get all that dirt out of there, dust, and living in the desert, it just collects in there. So I got a little bit of work to do. It won't take me long. That's all roughed up. Next one's going to be the doors and the fenders and then the hood, and then I'm finished. Then I could start priming and painting the car, filling, leveling out, finding all the low spots in the body, filling those in, sanding, and then prime and paint. And then the car will be black. And the engine will be the last thing that I put in. Because I got a engine bay, but that's all roughed up now. I just got finished cleaning it. You know, I use a degreaser in there to get rid of all that stuff. But there's a few areas I have to sand down to bare metal because brake fluid got on the frame.
Oh, so man. If
you don't get that cleaned up down to bare metal, your paint's going to peel right off. It'll look terrible. So I just got some housekeeping to do on the car is stripped bare. The only thing on it really are the tires and the gas tank. You know, and I'm going to put a new tank, and it's a 15-gallon tank. So I got to drop the rear end. I'm going to drain the tank, drop the rear end, pull the tank, and put a new one in. and we'll be good to go. And we'll put that back in and we'll be finishing that. So I got to drop the shocks, the strut towers. I got to drop all that so I can paint that too, because right now it's got like these adjustable plates where the bolts are. It's how you adjust the camber of the car, camber, whatever you want to call it. It's how it's pitch of the wheels like this when they're bolted to the, when they're already bolted on, you can change the pitch.
Okay.
And it helps with your handling and your tire wear on your car. I'm going to put some Eibach springs on there, lowering springs, lowered about an inch and a half. So it gets rid of some of that wheel gap, so it's screen accurate. So they got these ones that lower about an inch and a half. You don't have to change out your shocks. So that's nice. If you go 2 inches, then you're changing, you got to buy their shocks because that, they're designed for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on the car. And I'm just glad I got the dash done. That was the most concerning thing for me, was getting the paint job right. Because the guy who built the dash shell, the fiberglassed it for me, I bought his fiberglass parts. That's his last dash. And I wanted to kind of do him proud, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I got his last steering wheel, too. So, that same deal with that. So, that'll, the night symbol is going to be a horn button. That's the goal, at least. So, steering wheel.
So. That's cool, man.
Yeah, so it's going to be exciting. As soon as it warms up and the wind dies down, I'll have the car painted. So, I'm just trying to... I got songs I'm writing, too, though. I mean, I'm freaking flat-out busy. Aside from all the stuff outside of the... me being at the house, it's like I've got some projects. I got some people that want me to go write stuff for them, and I've got my own stuff I have to get done. I got a lot of work to do, and it's proving to be a challenge. But I'll get it done. I mean, it's just that's when you know I like to keep myself busy. I don't like to just sit around and watch TV. I like to be doing stuff. I just can't do it. I when I was a teenager, I could sit around and watch TV for hours and do nothing and play video games. I don't have it in me anymore. I'd rather be doing something.
Your kids will keep you from sinning anyway, so.
Yeah, they got me running all, which is fine. I have a good time with them. It's awesome, you know.
That's cool. Oh, man. Yeah, I think pretty soon I'll be starting to work on my costumes again.
Some time. You got the Ghost Rider one finished, the Space Ghost Rider.
Yeah, well, I call that 1.0, because my original idea, I didn't, like, for the costume, I didn't get to do it because of time and stuff, but
right,
like the what I have in mind, well, for what I'll call 2.0 is I want to install some LEDs in areas where I don't know if you remember on my costume, you had like on the breastplate, you had like the light, the eyes, and then like there's these buttons kind of like in the collar area and the belt area. So I want to take those out and actually install LEDs there, so they can kind of have like a pulsating effect when I'm walking around. And yeah, there's like some armor pieces I want to either redo or fix, just that they're a little bit more comfortable to wear and stuff. And then I may redo part of the skull more. I don't know if I want to keep the flames as is or do something different where I'll build it in a similar manner, but use like more transparent material, so it kind of gives the, you know, the illusion of like actual flame. And even like installing like LEDs inside the collar area, so it illuminates from, you know, like underneath my face and kind of, you know, adds on to the, you know, to the lighting effect.
That's great.
I've even seen... Sorry?
I said that's great, Ponch.
Yeah. I have to teach myself some coding to get like the different lighting effects going. And there's even a YouTube clip of a cosplayer that I follow. She made this tutorial on taking like a vape pen, whatever you call it, and like taking out the smoking aspect of it and using like the liquid chamber and converting that to like a mini smoke machine, so it could even add like even more of the burning effect by having the smoke coming, you know, surrounding my head and stuff. So And also, like, the weapons I have, I want to... Yeah, the weapons I want to have it so that when I pull the triggers, the you see light coming out of the chambers. And then, like, the gauntlets, there's, like, these blue rings around the gauntlets. I want to have replaced those with LED rings, too. So it's a lot of LED installations. So I first have to teach myself the coding, soldering, and all that stuff. And then... You know, then there's that. And then before that, though, I had a costume I didn't get a chance to finish completely for a smaller show last year, which was the Phantom armor from the Zelda games. And I'm going to be rebuilding some of the armor from that. There's this stuff called, I believe it's electroluminescent panels. Basically looks like, it comes in different sizes, but it's basically like a, kind of like a thick sheet, and instead of having like LED, like for example, like on the back of the breastplate, there's the like the Zelda emblem you'd see on the shields. So initially I was gonna install LEDs behind that and have like some sort of like diffusing type of material so you can see the light shining through, but that may make the armor bulky. So instead I'm going to use this electroluminescent stuff, which is basically like a sheet of light. And I just put that on the back and then put like a, you know, so, you can actually even cut it out to shape too. So, but that stuff is kind of pricey. The bigger the sheet is that you get. So there's that.
What is it? So what is that electroluminescent stuff? Is that what you use for the flames on your ghost? Your Ghost Rider outfit, because it looked like, I mean, it just looked amazing. I mean,
no, yeah. it was just a paint job. Yeah, there was no lights on it at all.
You had me fooled, Ponch. That just
oh, thanks. That was
guy's work. This guy is amazing. It just blows me away. And he's the most humble guy you'll meet in your life. And he just, wow, I'm just
it's funny because, what was it, the Saturday or Sunday? Crap, I don't remember. Maybe the Sunday of Comic-Con when I was wearing the Ghost Rider costume, I met up with a friend of mine, and he was helping. He was kind of like walking around with me, holding my bag while I was like walking around, you know, stopping for pictures when people asked for them. And we were walking from one section to another. He's like, dude, man, you're way too nice, man. Like, what do you mean? It's like, you're too nice. So you stop for, you know, stop every time people ask for a picture for you and get into the character, man. Try to put some kayfabe into it.
Kayfabe?
Because, like, you see this flaming skull staring at you. It's like, oh, cool, thanks for the picture. You're like, no problem, man. Have a good one. It's like, why don't you, like, grunt and growl when people talk to you and stuff? I'm like, well, I'm tired, man. Leave me alone.
Yeah, it's like with this podcasting stuff. People are like, you guys need to fight more. You guys need to treat each other like dirt. It's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Yeah. I understand the whole character thing, but it's like, I don't know. Why be a fake? Why act a gimmick or something, you know? Unless you do the costume. I think that makes, maybe some people feel that that's more fun, but it's like, if everyone's doing it, then okay, then it's nothing special, you know?
Yeah, nah. Well, I am my own character, so I don't need to kayfabe at all.
Exactly. It's like, dude, what if there's like little kids and stuff? I mean, if they want to get your picture or something, you know? And the fact that you can make your own stuff is special stuff for me.
Thanks, great. Well, that warms my heart, man.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, so...
But, I mean, you know, in all seriousness... It's pretty cool what you're cranking out. And, you know, I think it's funny is, just a quick side note, is I saw that Owen Wilson, Owen Wilson is being slated for the next phase of the Marvel films. I'm wondering, would it be Adam Strange? Not Adam Strange. Adam Warlock, excuse me. Because he's got I could picture that.
I heard his name attached to either the Fantastic Four movie or the shoot, what was the not the Morbius one, but the
Morbius one.
Moon Knight, I guess.
They're doing a Moon Knight film?
Well, it's either film or Disney Plus series. I don't remember exactly, because it's
Disney Plus. I could definitely see that.
Maybe, you know, I would say, like, maybe for the type of storyline, like, Moon Knight, he has pretty cool lore behind him. So I think it might be too rushed trying to make it into a movie. So I think a series might work better for it.
I think those comics are still pretty cheap, aren't they, to pick up?
I guess. I mean, it also depends on what storyline they're going to base the series on, if they do make the series, because there is, I think some of the more recent takes on Moon Knight, because a lot of times in the past, like, a lot of people accused him, well, not accused him, but they kind of called him, you know, like a white Batman, because they had, like, a similar background, what? Like, you know, rich guy. Runs a full body costume, fights crime, that kind of stuff. So,
Wayne's white, so how does that work?
Yeah, right. So, white I don't knight. Know if it's, huh?
As if he's the white knight. Okay,
yeah, right. I don't know. Wait, now that DC has a comic called the White Knight, so not to get it confused with that.
Well, I knew a guy around town we called the White Knight, but he doesn't have a comic book.
Goodness, man.
What I'm talking about, you know. So ask Jody or Jason. Don't. So
I think there was the last time I read a Moon Knight comic was maybe, I don't know, 2010, sometime around there, 2015. But they now he's got I guess he's got either schizophrenia or, like, multiple personality disorder. So, kind of adds a little extra element to the character, which could be pretty neat if it's handled right. But, yeah, Disney Plus series will work better for that.
I think that Moon Knight is solid enough on his own to be doing his own film, but. You know how it is with the films, you can never really get into the meat of the character too much because, unfortunately, the span of a film is not, there's just not enough real estate. You only have roughly 2.5 hours, and then the average moviegoer is going to be like, this is too long, I don't want to, you know. And I think that, yeah, I think a TV series in this paradigm we live in, I think that it's the best possible way to go if you want to really flesh a character out and to the point to where you can have TV shows or at least streaming series, I guess you want to call it now. They're just drawn out and maybe some people, well, you can pick and choose if you want to watch it or not. Now, it caters to people that want to just sit on their duff and watch stuff on streaming services. Well, here you go. Go binge watch, as you call it. I call it a marathon. That's what that was the original terminology. But whatever you want to call it, here you go. Eat some Cheetos, lay on the couch, and, you know, drink a couple hundred beers and pass out. And watch it again because you missed it, you know. But I think. I think some of the Marvel stuff will be good. I'm excited about the Loki series. And then contrary to popular opinion, I guess, I'm really looking forward to the Vision Scarlet Witch series. And I'm also looking forward to the Black Widow movie that's coming up because it's got Hopper in it, which is fine with me.
Oh, yeah.
Still fits. He's got those bad teeth. It's awesome. I'm a big fan of Hopper, so I'm glad to see he was in it.
Yeah, he's a good actor, man. He's a good actor. I like him.
They said he was the most popular character on Stranger Things was Hopper.
Hey, I can see that, man. He's got that no-nonsense, F-off type of character, you know, attitude about him. But then he's got... He's able to have, like, the quieter moments where you can have, like, little...
He's got a
conversation with him.
Yeah, like, you know, going, he was tearing up at the end of what, season three? It's like, because he was in that accelerator room where they had the gate or whatever, and he's like tearing up.
Oh, when he had to close the gate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was kind of, that was intense, but it was like, he's like the embodiment. See, I knew a lot of, like growing up as a kid in the 80s, I knew a lot of like sheriffs and stuff, and like a lot of guys are in law enforcement. Like, cause my dad, used to have like a, used to have a police scanner, and we go to like fires and stuff.
Like as bystanders?
Well, he would go in case he had to jump in and help. I'm thinking, well, Dad, you got your two boys here. See, he never had to, but he was like a reserve fireman. But, yeah, I want to go check it out, see what's going on, you know.
Man, and, I thought you meant, like, you guys just did that as a hobby, like, have the cop count where the radio's like, oh, here's another fire. The kids, bring the popcorn and chairs. We're going to watch a fire tonight.
No, he had one because, like, he was in the reserve, whatever. He was in reserve fireman. So, like, he had a scanner. Plus, he liked to know what the heck's going on because he didn't have internet or anything. And by the time something happened, you're going to hear about it on the news the next day. I mean, there was no internet. So, that was, like, his live feed for everything that's going on. He wanted to kind of be in the know. That was his thing. So, he always made sure he kept up the latest scanner model. It was funny because he got this one from, like, Radio Shack. And he'd get frustrated because he didn't know how to program it. And he's like, he put his glass on, what the frick is this? And, come on! Like that. So, yeah, he always had one of those. And Hopper was the kind of guy that was, he embodied that type of personality and that occupation perfectly for that time period. And it was, that's what I like a lot about the character. He had the same cut type of vehicle, the clothes, the way the character lived on the show. Like, I don't know about what all this stuff is, but let's just do what we got to do. You know, it's that kind of his investigative skills, like when he's in like that field and he's digging up, he ends up digging a huge hole in that pumpkin patch. He's like, I'm going to find out what's going on, come hell or high water. And he found out all right. It was amazing. But yeah, just a great character. He's legit, you know. When he acts the character, he really acts it. He's just, you see, you got a lot of people in the movie business that are like actors and actresses and stuff. They like, or actors, I should say. You can't say that. They're all actors, you know. And it's like, anyway. You know what I'm saying? He's legit. He's got acting chops. And a lot of these people can't act worth crap. It's because they were like a music celebrity or someone like that. They didn't go through the schooling. You know, they weren't theater trained. And some people, you know, don't have to. But a lot of the people, they get in because of their marketing market appeal and sell tickets. So, but yeah, no, it's pretty cool. I hope season 4 is good, and we'll see how that goes.
When it ever comes out, that is.
I would say probably around the same time in like July of 20, right?
I hope so. Yeah, well, I haven't heard anything yet, so hopefully they'll make that announcement soon, because the way they, like, if they do something similar to what they did with Game of Thrones, where people had to wait almost 2 years for, you know, between 7th and 8th seasons, that's a little bit too much. I don't want to wait that long. I don't mind waiting if it's worth it, but if it's too long of a wait, then you risk fans of the show or whatever getting tired of waiting, and then their interest might jump onto something else and stuff. So,
well, but, it's
yeah, yeah, so, I agree.
Great. Yes, make people wait for the next episode to come out.
Yeah, well, within reason, not
a week, big deal. Get a life.
No, I thought you meant like in between seasons.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, for crying out loud, you have a lot of time to actually shoot the series, you know. People are like, I want it all now. It's like, they have to do production. They have to film the scenes. They have to write the script. You can't just push a button. That's LP.
Yeah, that's what happens when people don't know, like, process of things getting done.
No, it's just consumption. They don't have any concept of real life. Or how consumption is made, you know? But anywho.
So, well, the Disney Plus show, I'm almost saying, well, the Loki one sounds fun, but I think the one I'm looking forward to the most is the What If cartoon series. Because from what I've been reading, a lot of the actors from the movies are coming back to reprise their voice roles. And, yeah, I mean, like, the What If series in the comics were great. So seeing that in, you know, like, on TV form, it'd be great. And then since it's all animated, you know, you're not restricted to, like, with Robert Downey Jr., I've read that he's going to be lending his voice to some of the episodes. So you don't have to worry about his likeness. You don't have to worry about, like, certain characters. Like, if he's 70 years old, but he still has the same voice he had when he was starring Iron Man, you can just drop his voice down and have him look however, whichever way you want. Give him any powers you want. Just the amount of, like, possibilities they can come up with the show is just really fascinating to me. I can't wait to watch it. Well, I can wait, but yeah, I'm looking most forward to that one, actually. And then with the whole, another thing I've been reading is the whole, like, they want to really push the whole multiverse thing, multiple Earths, so, you know, like, see what kind of possibilities they come up with.
Everybody's doing it now.
Well, Marvel can do it better, I guess.
Well, CW is doing it, or finishing that off.
Yeah. I heard that was a lot of fun. I haven't watched it myself, but the whole Crisis thing?
Yeah. The 100 pagers that are out, those Crisis 100 pagers, the Crisis on Infinite Earths, I'm reading my way through. Oh, I finished this new, like, the segment where it talks about, it's a new, I think it's a new story they put in there, at least I think it's a new story. It's this continuing on the CW, so you you read the comic book, and then you watch it on TV.
That's weird.
Yeah, I'm like, is this for real?
I don't know if I like that.
Cross-media type thing. So.
Man, that reminded me of this comic I bought sometime last year. It was by a smaller publisher. I don't remember the name of it, but it seemed to have, like, some online hype. Not so much hype, but a lot of, like, attention drawing toward, you know, given to it. So, here, let me try it out. And when I buy it, it's like standard price, $3-4 for the comic, but it felt really thin.
Right.
And so I'm reading it, and it felt okay. The stupid comic was a prelude to the graphic novel where, at the last page, it literally said, if you want to read more, buy the graphic novel out later on this year.
So yeah.
You kidding me, man? It's so stupid.
Yeah. It's a money maker.
So dumb. So last time I ever did that, but I don't know. It's like if you have a story. I mean, I get you want to have people go from, like, you know, how when in the comics they have the event, when you have big events going on, you have the main event storyline, and then you have the ancillary comics that, if you want to flesh out the story more, you read the whatever ancillary comics that support the main story. But, or like you're saying, the comic going from comic to TV show, you know, that's fine and all, but have something more concise and complete in one form before you force people to jump onto something else, instead of, like, having it be part one comic, part two TV show. I think it's pretty dumb.
I think that, yeah, I don't care for that myself, and I think it's expecting too much out of people, and I don't know, I might just stop buying new comics. I might just start buying the old ones again. Now that we got over the Detective Comics 1000, you know, and Action Comics 1000, maybe I'll probably stop and then just focus on the 80s stuff. Because it's just getting ridiculous. It's like, now I'm up to, like, a $65 bill at the comic store. And sometimes I'll buy, you know, if they got, like, stuff like hardcover graphic novels, like, they got, like, kid stuff, that's a lot of that. My son reads comics, and he can just burn through books like crazy. And so it's like, but on average, I would say there's at least, I get the Supergirl, Action Comics, Superman, Detective Comics. What else? There is the that new Masters series, that limited run. I think it's 6 issues. It's again, they're doing a multiverse thing with that. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Then, yeah. So that one that's got, they're going up against anti-attorney He-Man, and he looks like more like the Prince Albert haircut, you know, from your classic He-Man stuff. Well, so he's the main bad guy, and even Skeletor and Keldor are kind of like somewhat helping each other, but Keldor is kind of like the reformed hero on there, the young Keldor who's like, you know, 19, 20 years old. So I got that. I love the artist on that. It's pretty good. Trying to think. That's kind of where we're at. The thing is like, I used to get sucked in by Marvel's covers and their books, and then I actually read them and they're garbage. So I quit buying.
Man.
They started the Star Wars series. I'm like, why?
Dude, lately, it's funny you mention that, because lately I find myself reading less and less Marvel because of the cover gimmicks that they do now. It seems like for every single number one issue that they launch, there's like at least 15, 20 plus covers. It's like, do people actually go out and buy all these covers for a crappy comic? I mean, it's dumb. And
yeah,
like you'll have like, Howard the Duck. He's got like 35 different covers, and then it's like a 6-issue miniseries, and it ends up being relaunched at the end of the year anyway. And then they do the same thing over and over again. Like, goodness, man.
I said it gets tiresome. It's stupid.
Yeah, it's really dumb. Like, I like variant covers when it matters. A lot of times Marvel do variant covers where you'll have like, Incredible Hulk, and then it's got like Gwen Stacy variant cover. It's like, when did she ever show up in that comic? Why bother doing that? It's so stupid.
What they've done with this, they call it the Spider-Verse now. It's freaking stupid. I want part of it. I think it's lame. And the thing is like, even DC's starting to get a little weak. The only series that I like that never loses its steam is the Batman stuff. Because it's street tough, it's grit, it's vigilante action at its best, and it's detective work. The stories are inherently good because you're trying to figure out who's doing this stuff. You can never go wrong with that formula, right? The only comic I thought was a little weak was that the Leviathan thing was kind of a letdown. I'm like, big deal, okay. You know, and then like Superman, it's like, it's time the world knows. Everybody knows you're Clark Kent, dude. Best you've got. So now I'm starting to lose, you know. I'm like, did you guys, why even bother with this? Oh, I took my glasses off. I'm totally different now.
It's like that trick you do with little kids and their babies to cover your face. Like, where'd you go? Oh, wait, there you are. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jeff Johns is doing all that stuff. But
I think Bendis is writing the Superman stuff. Oh, you can blame him.
Never mind. Jeff Johns is Sir Laser-Lot. My mistake.
Get it right, man.
I brought that up because he probably wants that to be forgotten, but that's okay. I'll bring it up, man, every time. Jeff Johns, Sir Laser-Lot is what pops into my head. So.
Actually, the last comic, well, I need to catch up on my comics, my reading, because I have like a little stack that I've had maybe like 2 months worth of comics, but the last recent comic that I really, really liked was there was like a 2-miniseries. It wasn't really a crossover, it was just kind of like they, one, you can't really read one without the other, but when you read both together, it's really well done, but the it was House of X and Powers of X. And it was basically, it wasn't rebooting the X-Men franchise, but it was just like resetting, resetting and restarting it for a new set of stories. But they showed a way to how they can repopulate the Earth with mutants again without doing stupid retconning or anything like that. And they're actually using existing mutants in order to accomplish that. So, I don't want to go into like specifics in case you want to read it, but it's a really well done comic. It's by this guy named Jonathan Hickman. I don't know if you know the guy's name.
Familiar, yes.
Yeah, he leans more towards like a sci-fi type of storytelling.
Yeah, I'm that. Sure. Stuff. That's the thing. When I read those comics, I don't even care who did it. I just want to just read them. You know, I don't even like. Just some people have like these people memorized. I'm like, who cares? You know. If it's a good artist and it's one that stands on your mind, it's one thing. But it's like they got these rosters in their heads. Like, who gives a crap? It's like some guy playing like a guitar. It's like no one cares if it's made out of alder, basswood, or agathis. Oh, I can really hear the agathis in that guitar. Nobody cares.
You hear the hum? That's yeah. The fine tuning of mahogany.
Yeah, it's, you're playing a live beat. They're not gonna know what pickups you're using. Nobody gives a crap.
Well, I figure it's a little different with comics because, you know, like there's certain writers that are known for like a specific type of writing style.
Sure, sure. But there's people that have like, oh, I know Pat Mahan's birthday, and you know when they started. It's like that's great if you're a huge fan, but for me, I'm so casual. I don't care. Well, I've Bendis and guys like that. You know, it's like they're the top dogs. You know, they are. But.
So I think actually I think the way the series the miniseries started, it's you didn't really need to have any like backstory or know anything, you know, backstory wise. It's just as long as you know what mutants are, as long as you know they have powers. Oh, and by the way, there's not a lot of them on the planet. That's all you really need to know. And of course, like you know, like the more common mutants like Professor X, Jean Grey, Wolverine, Cyclops, like the more common characters that you know of, like you don't really need to know much about them,
right?
Yeah, it's kind of like if you like X-Men, do you want to start reading new X-Men comics? Pick this up.
No.
Just kind of pick these up. Don't give me no sass, all right? Shut your mouth. No, but in all seriousness, yeah, I highly recommend reading it because it's a really good starting off point to what they're doing with the X-Men. In general right now, so I think you'd dig it.
I think that the thing with X-Men was that the art, I mean, you know, they had some crazy stuff going on in the 90s, you know, with Jim Lee and all that stuff. And for me, they were pretty wordy. I mean, you got your money's worth when you're reading those, like, Executioner's Song, you know, and Uncanny X-Men and just X-Men in general. And it was like, you know, they had some pretty decent story arcs in there, the writing and stuff. And I didn't read comics in the mid-2000s at all. And I think that was, you know, I had other interests, you know, and stuff like that. But X-Men now, it's just, I feel like every time, if I were to start reading a book, I'd have to, comic book, it'd be like, because they are comic books, they are not books. Books are thick. Books take concentration. Dedication. Comic books are thin that you can read on the toilet, okay? But comic books are, if it's a, like you're saying, if you don't know what the backstory is or whatever, it's, you're kind of like, what's going on here? And I feel like with X-Men, I'm always in danger of that happening, with the exception of what you said. I mean, it just, there's so many players involved. There's so many people with powers, and there's such an oversaturation of characters in these storylines. It's like none of them ever get a chance to be like utilized. And it's just, you just throw a bunch of people. Oh, we're going to go against the Morlocks and the sewers or whatever those people are called. And all these individual people in there have these abilities, but you never really get to see it. They all get like a little snippet of the story. And it's like, whoop, whoop, whoop. You're like bouncing around and like, oh, okay, what's this guy? And it's like, I just feel like it's, you know, you read a Moon Knight comic or whatever, well, it's Mark Spector. He's got his mansion, he's got the clock, he's got the Egyptian god that helps him out, whatever, gave him his abilities, whatever. And it's like, It's narrowed down. It's focused. And that's why I like Batman stuff. It's focused on key characters. And the storylines are just inherently good. And it's like the whole thing centered around Hush. The whole thing centered around, like, you know, a crime family or something like that. And it's like, or the Court of Owls or whatever. And it's like, you could focus in on it and really get into, like, the motives and the just the overall flow of the story. With X-Men, there's so many players involved. It's like, I don't know. It's just too much. And that's what that's why I think hurt the movies, too, was that you had so many characters in there that, you know, the adventure films, they managed to kind of stay out of that to a point. But outside of the movie media, that's my problem with X-Men is just for me personally as a reader, I don't get to focus on any of the characters, you know? Avengers was, and all that stuff was like that too, to a point. But it's like, I don't know. That's why I like to have a comic where it's like, it's a title character like Iron Man or whatever. And it's focused on a character. You can really dig your teeth into it. And nothing against X-Men. I think they're great characters, but they just don't get enough representation as individuals, and that's really equivalent with X-Men.
Yeah, so you rather read comics that where it's just a singular character that has the focus?
Or a few characters.
Okay.
Yeah, like it's a core group of maybe, well, Fantastic Four. I don't read any of those comic books, but it's an example of four characters that you're like, okay, well, Ben Grimm's a slab of meat with mittens, okay? You've got Reed Richards, who's a genius scientist. You've got Invisible Woman, who's, you know, she could have a force field and go invisible and stuff. You know, you got the Torch. There you go. They're going up against Doctor Doom. You know, it's easy to kind of track and dig in a little bit to what's going on. So it's like, I remember when X-Force came out. You had like, oh, where's Black Tom? Nobody knows where Black Tom is. And it's like, you had Warpath, the big Apache guy. And you had Boom Boom. And you had Cannonball. And you had all these guys, all these characters that are in there, and they're cramming them into this book, this comic book story. And it's like, I just, as a kid, I think I was like 12 or 13, and I was just like, there's a lot of things going on here, but when I read, like, Amazing Spider-Man, it's like he's going up against Venom or Carnage or the freaking Wild Pack, for crying out loud. I threw that in just for comedy. But, like, he's going up against Venom, he's got to track him down, and he can't, his spider sense doesn't go off because, you know, he's a, like, Venom can fake him up, fake him out, you know? And maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just an idiot, but I just, I like to have a focused story. And I just don't get that with X-Men. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what's that?
Give it another shot, at least with the House of X and Powers of X.
I'll give it a shot.
Because I think, well, with you saying that, I think that's one of the main goals of what the writer was trying to do. Like, you know, there was a reason why, like, X-Men, the popularity of that franchise was, like, waning. And
right.
It's like, you know, what makes the X-Men X-Men? Why are they so cool? And to me, at least, I think that's what he brought it back to.
Yeah.
There are multiple X-Men centric comics now, but each one is, you know, you have a group within that each line, and that's the main focus. But I might have said before, like, what I really liked was he would take like these jobber mutants with like useless power set, or you would think it was a useless power set, but then happened?
Yeah. But then you put him in the right situation, and it makes him very, yeah.
Or that, team.
That's cool.
Or combine one of those terrible characters with another character that also seems to have a terrible power set, and oh man, they kind of synchronize off of each other, and they actually do really cool stuff. Like, again, I don't want to get into what the series did, because it's.
No, I'll check that out, man. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. But it definitely brings like. Gives a positive focus on certain underutilized characters or characters that were garbage, and actually makes it seem like everything matters more now.
Yeah.
But Yeah, in a way, not so much storyline wise, but more the way they're handling the different teams in the comics. I kind of see it as kind of like how wrestling now, you have like, you know, in WWE you have like SmackDown, Raw, and NXT. I mean, of course they're all part of like the WWE universe, I guess, if you want to call it. But then if you want to just focus on one of the brands, you can. Or if you want to watch all of them, or in the case of the X-Men comic, read them all, you can. And I haven't read all of them yet, but what I've read so far, with the occasional crossover as far as like storyline detailing, you can get away with just reading, say, the core X-Men comic and not have to worry about, well, what are they doing with the Marauders or X-Force and all these other, you know, other side X-Men comics. So I think they're hopefully distilling it back to what it was back when we read it as kids, where it was just X-Men Blue, X-Men Gold, unless there's like a major event going on. Whatever right. happens in X-Men Blue usually stays with X-Men Blue and, you know, that kind of stuff. So
yeah, good point. Yeah.
I think you'll dig it, man. And if you don't like it after that, then you know it's screw you too. But
yeah.
Yeah, I honestly think at least that the way they released the comics was that I don't know which one came out first, whether it was House of X or Powers of X, but you'd read like the first issue of one and then read the first issue of the second and then kind of go back and forth.
Right.
And the writer, I can't think of other writers that does this. Actually, did you ever read Watchmen?
No.
Okay. All right. So what this writer does is that he gives you a lot of info to digest, but not in a way of like, you know, forcing it down your throat. So say, for example, like in one issue, he'll present like a new status quo. But if the details are too much to handle when you initially get it, he'll have like little side like graphics that fully break down what it is that was just presented, and in a way where it's easily digestible. So it's like, oh, that makes sense. So then that way you're not really lost in trying to figure out what just happened by the time the next issue comes out. At least right. that's how I pick up on it. But it's really well done. I like it.
Off that stuff, and it was like editor's note, you know, Danny, you know, it'll say like,
no, nothing like that.
As seen in Hulk number 13.
Yeah.
So again, what was that, 30 years ago, huh? Why do we care now? You know.
Yeah. You mentioning that also reminded me of something else, too. Even though you don't have to have prior knowledge of, like, major X-Men beats, if you are familiar with that stuff, you do get, like, payoffs in the comic, you know, as the two series goes on. So it's like, if you read something from, you know, there's like ties to like the whole Genosha thing. The heck's the name of that that living island or whatever, there's connection, Krakoa, I think there's connections to that. So if you read it years ago, it's like, oh man, they brought that back. But if you didn't, you find out, oh, that's what that thing is. So yeah.
Well, I will have to close this episode out here in a second. I think this is good discussion, and we'll see how some of the things we talked about with the new Marvel series, Disney Plus, and all that stuff. We'll see how that shakes out. I think that they should, the Loki one's probably going to be pretty good, I think. But they dig into the more, dig deeper and maybe some of the classic horror stuff. But we'll see what happens. So, or at least do some of the movie stuff. I don't know how they're going to flashback or what. I don't know. Anyway. So, no, this is a lot of fun, Ponch. And maybe we'll shoot for next week for another one. Yeah, guys, I'm going to wrap it up. What else, you got anything else, Ponch?
Yeah, one last thing, if you don't mind. So I'd like to give major shout-out to the McSauce Boys. I know you did it already, but I listened to their recent episode, and it was Paul McGinty wasn't lying when he tweeted that it was a punch heavy episode. And thanks, guys. I had a really crappy day Friday that made my day big time. So thank you, guys. Yeah, they pulled my name four times in the Dealey Wheelie Chili Wheel.
That's funny.
And only gave them 2 questions. So, I'll keep that luck in mind when I pick up $2 bingo tickets.
Nice. So. Cool. You got a nice array of markers at home.
Yeah.
Bingo! You were in a free case of tapioca.
Yeah, man.
I don't know how any of it works. I never played bingo at the local bingo hall. So, anyway, yeah. Cool. This is a lot of fun. And we'll catch you guys next time.